takes place. We're going to take our text from this portion that we've read from a little earlier, the 56th Psalm. And especially we take the verse 3 as our text this morning. We pray it'll be a blessing. The Lord will speak through it. It'll be a help to all that are assembled. David says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." It's a good verse to know. We've often encouraged you to learn some of the verses of Scripture, to memorize them, the text that we've taken. And we will encourage you to remember this verse. Mark it in your Bible and learn it. It's one of the shorter texts that could be taken. So it's not very difficult to commit to memory. Can I remind you, as we come to our text this morning, always to read the title of the psalm. The title of the psalm is different from the title that's given at the top of the page. The publishers have put the title at the top of the page, but it's the Lord himself that has put the title to the psalm. The title is inspired, every bit as inspired as the psalm is itself. I'd encourage you, don't do it now, but a little later, you compare the title of Psalm 18 with the commencement of 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22 is virtually Psalm 18 given in its historical context. And you'll see as you compare the title of the psalm with the commencement of the chapter that the title of the psalm is actually in the chapter. And it's one of the proofs for us that the titles of these psalms are inspired. The title here, to the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Rek Okim, the idea is to do with a dove that is fleeing, a dove that is frightened, a dove that is looking for shelter and looking for refuge. It gives you the idea of David's circumstances, the context of the psalm itself. And then it goes on, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. This is at the time in David's life when he's on the run. Saul wanted to murder David. So what David did was he went to a place where he thought that Saul would never think of looking for him. He fled to Gath and he decided he was going to hide himself among the Philistines. But what happened was, immediately that he arrived in Gath, he found himself challenged by the Philistines, and he found himself in trouble. In fact, he was in great trouble. Remember that David had killed their champion, Goliath. He's known in the scriptures as Goliath of Gath. So he's in his hometown. The man that David had killed, the great Philistine champion. And he wouldn't be welcome. If there's one place on earth that David would not be welcome, it would be in Gath. It was almost as if it was as he fled from Saul out of the frying pan and into the fire. Can I remind you that Gath is in the Gaza Strip, that strip of land down the west coast of the land of Israel. So David was a prisoner in the Gaza Strip whenever he wrote these words. It's exactly the same place that you hear so much about on the news from time to time. Can I point out to you, there's a difference between Psalm 55, the previous psalm, and the one that we're considering. In Psalm 55 there, we learn and we read about David being persecuted by his friends. It was his own son Absalom that had rebelled against him. And that's the historical setting of Psalm 55. His closest friend and counselor, Ahithophel, had betrayed him. He's been persecuted by his friends. But here in Psalm 56, there's a difference because he's been persecuted by his foes. He's now in the hands of the Philistines, those who were not just his, but Israel's greatest enemy. Can I say, brethren and sisters, perhaps you find yourself in the same position today. Maybe you're in trouble. Maybe your family is in trouble. Maybe there's persecution to your Christian testimony and your witness for the Lord. As you've come to the meeting this morning and look out on this new week and look out on the future, you just don't know what it's going to hold. You don't know what the outcome of all of these circumstances is going to be. You think of Hannah. It says that her adversary also provoked her sore. Maybe there's some here today and you can identify with that position. Somebody's against you. They're provoking you by the things they're doing, the things that they're saying, that they're wanting to provoke you to do or to say something that would discredit your testimony and your witness for the Lord. If that's you today, then I want you to know that this is a psalm for you, a psalm to encourage your heart. I want us to think of David, been persecuted by the Philistines, and especially I want us to consider how he responded to that trouble, to that persecution. This psalm answers an important question for us all as Christians. It answers the question, what to do whenever you're afraid? What to do whenever you're afraid? You'll notice in the first place, the psalm speaks about David's terror. In verse 3, we have the words of our text, what time I am afraid. There's times in life when it's fear that fills the hearts, even of the people of God. Professor Harold Urey, he was a Nobel Prize winner at the age of 41. He won the prize in chemistry. He wrote a pamphlet. Now think of such an able man, a man with such intellect, understanding, ability. And he wrote a pamphlet, and this was the title, I'm a Frightened Man. And I want you to know, brethren and sisters, that describes David at this very time in his life. David too was a frightened man. He was afraid for his very life at this time. He was afraid that he was going to die at the hands of the Philistines. The man that so boldly had stepped out to face Goliath, he's now afraid he's going to die at the hands of these Philistine enemies. In verse 1 he says, man would swallow me up. He's given a very graphic description of how he feels and what he thinks is going to happen. Remember that in the historical background, if you read it in 1 Samuel, he had just left the priests at Nob. And remember that the priests gave him the sword of Goliath. He had asked for a weapon. That was the only sword they had. Remember those famous words, give it me, there's none like it, give it me. So he had the sword of Goliath. Now you think of that. He marched into Gath. He marched into the midst of the Philistines. He marched into Goliath's hometown wearing Goliath's sword. Is it any wonder that they wanted to put him to death? That his presence, his arrival in Gath stirred up so much animosity, so much trouble at that time? As you think of those circumstances, you would think that David was crazy. He had every reason to be afraid. He's thinking that they're going to get their revenge upon me at this time. So David's terror. And perhaps there's some here, and you can identify with that. For you, it's the very same this morning. You're afraid. It's a time of fear in your heart and a time of fear in your life. John Wesley, when he was on the ship to America, at the time he was still unconverted. They had been through three storms already. The fourth was on its way. And he wrote in his journal, he was very careful at keeping a journal through his life. He wrote these words, storm greater, afraid. Very short but very succinct. Summed up his circumstances, summed up his feelings. The storm's greater, afraid. And maybe that describes you today. The storm's not getting any calmer, any easier. The storms of life are raging. They're greater, maybe more in number than they've ever been. And today you find yourself afraid, very afraid. You're like Paul in Macedonia. You can say there's fightings without and there's fears within. Describes both the external and the internal circumstances of the Lord's servant. You're afraid. You're afraid today of the circumstances in which you're found. You're afraid of what will happen in those circumstances. What will be the ultimate end of those circumstances? You're afraid today of what the future will hold. Maybe you're afraid today because of your sins. As a believer, you're afraid of your past sins, afraid of the consequences. Not just if those sins find you out, but if those sins are found out. If you're here today without Christ, maybe there's fear in your heart because of the life you're living and the sins that you've committed. If you're unconverted, no hope for eternity, you do well today to be afraid as you think of your sins. So there's all sorts of reasons that could cause you to be afraid today. Some are afraid of death. Some are afraid to die. Paul speaks of those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's certain things that you do because you're in bondage of that fear of dying and of the tomb and of eternity. If you're full of fear today, there's something I want you to understand, and that is that you're not alone. You're not the only one who feels that way. I want to assure you of that. That's one of the lessons we learn from this psalm. Isn't it comforting, encouraging to know and understand that even David, the great man of God, the man after God's own heart, even David knew and felt and experienced fear. Fear is a common emotion. Everyone has fears. We talk about phobias. We hear about phobias. We hear an awful lot more about phobias in the days in which we live. Different people have different fears. Well, remember that even David, even the psalmist, the man of God, had fears that terrified him. And we're reading of one of them here in this place. Notice that he honestly faced his fear. He acknowledged it, didn't cover it up, didn't deny them. He confessed them. And you should do the same, brethren and sisters. Not to me, not to any other believer. The best person to tell about your fears is the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Isn't it interesting that David was afraid? Remember, this is the same man that, as a youth, as a lad, he faced the lion and he faced the bear. He showed great courage. This is the man that confronted the giant when not another man in Israel would step out against him. This is the man that led Israel out to war. David was known in Israel as a man of valor, a man of courage. And yet David admits in this psalm that there was times he was afraid, times that even he was terrified. You know, that's one of the greatest blessings of the Psalms. They reveal to us the heart, particularly of David, but remember, he wasn't the only writer or author of the Psalms. And they reveal to us the emotions, every emotion that is common to humanity. Even David knew what it was to be afraid. So I want to say to you, brethren and sisters, to everyone here in this meeting, I want you to be encouraged just by that knowledge that you're not on your own today. You may be afraid, you may have fears, and so is everyone else in this meeting. There's people in this meeting that have fears today that you know absolutely nothing about. They haven't told anyone, not another person. They carry that burden with them from day to day. So be encouraged by the knowledge that everyone is fierce. And remember, the Lord knew that we would often be afraid. That's why he wrote those words, "Fear not," into the Bible so many times. So many occasions you read that lovely little statement. Somebody once told me there was 365 fear nots, one for every day in the year. I thought that was interesting. I typed it into my computer one day, a little package that brings up a word or a phrase, how many times it's in the Bible. Didn't come up 365 or anything near it, or the variations of it, even if they're all added together. The fact is this, men and women, I can assure you, there's a fear not in the Bible for whatever circumstance you're facing or whatever situation you may ever find yourself in. Consider those words carefully. They're a command of the Lord to your heart today. Fear not. Whatever you're facing, whatever trouble you're in, whatever situation is confronting you, the Lord would say that to your heart today. Fear not. David's terror. Think of David's tears. If you come a little down the psalm to verse 8, he says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" David's really opening up to us emotionally here in this psalm. He speaks of his tears. And that indicates to us, brethren and sisters, how afraid he actually was. David was so terrified that he wept. He shed tears when he's down there in Gath. I'd like you just to think of that. I'd like you just to picture that in your mind for a moment or two. The man of God, he's sitting among these Philistines there in Gath, and the tears are running down his cheek. Tears are something we all know about. Every one of us have experienced them. Every one of us have shed them. Tears are another example of the wonder of the human body. The fact that we're able to express our feelings, express the emotions of our heart, the emotions that we feel in that particular way. God has given us that ability, men and women. It's a wonder of the human body. There's times there's nothing better than a good cry, just to sit down and to release. It does you good. What a blessing that God has given us that ability. And the reality is, as David's teaching us here, life is full of tears. This world, this life, it is a veil of tears. I wonder, did you shed any tears today? Did you shed any tears in the week that has passed? Perhaps silently, quietly, privately. Tears that no one else was aware of. You have been in the valley of Baca, as the Bible describes it. Baca means weepers. The valley of Baca is the valley of the weepers. Maybe there's been some here that have passed that way, passed through that valley because of your circumstances, maybe because of the pain that someone else has caused you. Remember this, men and women, if you've shed tears. Remember that God sees those tears. Do you remember what he said to his servant Hezekiah? Hezekiah was sick, seriously ill. And the word of the message of Isaiah was that he was sick unto death. He was told, "Thou shalt die and not live." And the Lord said, "I have seen thy tears." So be encouraged by that today. If you have been like David, your face has been wet this week with your tears, the Lord says, "I have seen them. I have seen your tears." And not only does he see your tears, the Lord hears those tears as well. Did you ever notice those words of David the psalmist? He said that you've heard the voice of my weeping. Your tears have a voice, and they speak. They speak to others. Tears can touch the hearts of others. But be encouraged, especially by the knowledge that tears touch the heart of God. He has heard the voice of your weeping. So what a blessing. Just to understand today, the Lord knows. The Lord can identify. He knows just how you feel. Now here's an interesting question in relation to those tears. What happens to them when you shed them? You ever think of that? Ever ask? Well, the text says that God has a bottle for our tears. And it says as well, just to alliterate it for you, he not just has a bottle, but he has a book as well. Look at the words, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" In ancient times, they would collect tears. When they shed tears at the time of grief, the time of death, and so on, they would collect the tears. It reminded them of that sorrowful event, and often they would put those little bottles into the tomb of a departed loved one. That's what David's thinking of, referring to here. So think of it. The book of the Revelation says, the Lord has a vial for our prayers. Isn't that encouraging? The Lord keeps, stores up the prayers. Often we forget about them, but he keeps them. He has a vial for our prayers, and he has a bottle for our tears. And that teaches us, men and women, a great lesson that should encourage your heart today. God's interested in the tears that you shed. God takes note, great note, a bottle and a book. He remembers and he records the tears that you shed and the tears that you offer. The Savior said that a sparrow, one of the smallest of the birds, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground that he doesn't know about it. And so it is with our tears, men and women. There's not a tear that falls. There's not a tear that's shed. There's not a tear that runs down your face that he doesn't see and that he doesn't know all about. So I encourage you today. Be encouraged. Be comforted by that thought and by that knowledge. There's an old hymn that says, Jesus knows all about our struggles, and he will guide until the day is done. And I want you to ponder that. He knows. He knows all about your struggles, the greatness of your pain, the extremity of your fear, just at this time. You think of the shortest verse in all the Bible. As the Savior stood in Bethany at the tomb of Lazarus, it says, Jesus wept. That's a reminder of his humanity. He's the God-man. His humanity. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmity. The Savior shed tears, just as you do. He shed tears when he was here on earth. There are three references in the New Testament to the tears of the Savior. And that, brethren and sisters, reminds us he can identify with you today. He can identify with your tears. When you're weeping, when those tears are pouring forth, he knows exactly how you feel. So there's David's terror, David's tears. The other thing I leave with you for your encouragement this morning from the psalm is David's trust. In our text, verse 3, he says, what time I am afraid, what will I do? He says, I will trust in thee. Look at verse 11, right down at the end of the psalm. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. So say to you, brethren and sisters, if there's fear in your heart, if you're afraid today, if you're terrified about what's happening, I want you to know here's the answer. Here's what to do as a child of God. If I could put it like this for you, here's what to do when there's nothing you can do. Remember, man's extremity is God's opportunity. So if you've been brought to the place today that there's nothing more that you can do, then you trust the Lord. You put your trust in him. You trust his promise. Remember his word. It's yea and amen in Christ, the certainty. This old world in which we're found will one day pass away, heaven and earth. But his word will never pass away. So trust his promise. Trust his power, brethren and sisters, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly. What he's promised, he's able also to perform. He's the Almighty. Remember and trust in his providential care. All of the events that befell me on the 23rd of April, that day in Dublin Airport, if there's one thing that they underline for me, it's to have a greater confidence in the providential care of our God. So trust, men and women. You think of the old hymn we often sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way. It's a well-known hymn. There's a boy in Sunday school, as often as the case, he misquoted that hymn. He said at Sunday school, as they sang it, trust and okay. And how true that is, brethren and sisters, because the reality, everything's okay when you put your trust in the Lord, when you rest in him. And that's what all of us need to do. Remember the great words of Solomon, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord. How are we to do that? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, completely, unreservedly. No holding back, no reservations, no doubts whatsoever. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Bible says, the great Reformation doctrine, the just shall live by faith. Remember, we're not just saved by faith, men and women. And if you're out of Christ, we want to plead with you to put your trust in the Savior today. But we're not just saved by faith, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Remember, as Christians, we're to walk by faith. That's how we're to pass through all the circumstances, all the valleys, all the paths of this world and this life. We're to walk by faith. And I want to encourage you to do that today. Think of Paul on the ship, and he's on his way to Rome. They're in the midst of a fierce storm. Neither sun nor moon had appeared in many days. There was nothing to encourage them. There was absolutely no cause of hope. And Paul stood out on the deck and he said to all of the other fellow passengers on that ship, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Paul, there's no cause for cheer. There's absolutely nothing to encourage our hearts, to lift our spirits today. But he said, "I believe God." That's one of the greatest statements of faith, men and women, to be found in all the Bible. I believe God. And that's what to do. That's how to live when you're troubled, when you're frightened. We believe in the Lord. We rest in him, that he will take care of you. It's very interesting. The Red Indians of North America, when they're training their young men, training their braves, they would teach them how to hunt, and they would teach them how to cook, teach them all sorts of lessons of survival and so on. When the young fellow would come to about 13, they would bring him through one of the greatest tests of all. They would blindfold him one evening as it was getting dusk, and they would walk him for miles out into the forest, and they were going to take the blindfold off and just leave him there in the forest, so far away from home, never been away from his family, never been away from home before. He was to spend the night in the darkness of that forest. If you've ever been in the forest when it's dark, every time a twig breaks, your heart misses a beat. And you can think of how a young man would feel in those circumstances. Every time a twig would break or a noise would sound, he would fear that a wild animal would pounce upon him at any moment. But you know what happened, men and women, to those Indian braves? When the morning came and the dawn broke and the light began to shine, they would look around upon their circumstances. And you know one thing that surprised them? Not far away there was a man standing. And when they got the focus of who the man was, it was their own father, with bow and arrow in his hands, that had stood nearby, guarding, watching over his son through those hours of darkness. And it's the same for you and I. In the darkness, men and women, the dark hours of life, when we're passing through the dark circumstances and the dark providences, remember that your heavenly Father, he's at your side. Never leave you, never forsake you. He's present with you at every moment, and he's present to protect you. So I want to urge you, men and women, to trust him today. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. This is what to do as a Christian, as a child of God, when fear fills your heart. I'll finish just with this. I'm sure you have a favorite verse in the Word of God. D.L. Moody's favorite verse was a verse that's very similar to this verse in Psalm 56, verse 3. Moody's favorite verse was Isaiah 12 and verse 2. I will trust and not be afraid. The wording's very similar, only it's as if they're set in reverse. A lady said to Mr. Moody once, "I have found a verse that helps me conquer my fears." And she quoted Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He said to her, that's very good, but I'll give you a better verse. Isaiah 12, verse 2. I will trust and not be afraid. There is a difference. Psalm 56 teaches, when you're afraid, you're to trust in the Lord. But Isaiah 12 and 2 brings you on to a different level, because it teaches if you trust in the Lord, you'll not be afraid. There'll never be fear that will come into your heart. So if you came to this meeting today, my brother, my sister, with a heavy heart, concerned about yourself, concerned about your loved ones, your family, the situation in which you're found, if you came here today afraid, what I want to encourage you to do is to think of these portions of God's word and go away today not with terror, but go away trusting in the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We're going to sing a couple of verses, 462. 'Tis so sweet to trust in